Hey there, restaurant pros. It's Dave Scott Peters, and welcome to episode 88 of the Restaurant Prosperity Formula. I've been coaching restaurant owners since 2003, and the Restaurant Prosperity Formula is based on what the most successful restaurant owners I've worked with do on a daily basis to achieve their success. The basic premise of the formula centers around achieving prosperity, freedom of your restaurant, a financial freedom you deserve. To achieve prosperity, you have to follow a very specific formula made up of leadership, systems, training, accountability, and taking action. Now, I want to tell you about our guest today, Jesse Klein. Jesse started a bakery specializing in cupcakes and custom wedding cakes. When COVID hit, she needed to pivot and rebranded as Rose Cafe, a fast casual breakfast, lunch, and dessert cafe. And recently, she expanded her restaurant and doubled her square footage. With 6 years in business and 8 years as a wife and mother, her life has been nothing short of busy. Listen into our conversation as Jesse shares her journey from burnout to a happy, motivated restaurant owner who can only see a bright future ahead of her. I want to welcome Jesse Klein to the show today. But first, a word from our sponsor. We all know managing costs is one of the most important parts of running a profitable restaurant, especially now. But between fluctuating vendor prices, waste, labor, and the never-ending list of tasks that demand your attention on a daily basis, it can be challenging for even the most experienced of us to manage costs well. That's where Margin Edge comes in. Margin Edge is a complete restaurant management software that automatically uses data from your POS and invoices to show you food and labor costs in real time. Don't wait until it's too late. Margin Edge gives you tools to make decisions in the moment, like a daily P&L, price alerts on key ingredients, and real-time plate costs, all without ever having to touch a spreadsheet. Take control of your costs, work more efficiently, and be more profitable. Go to www.marginedge.com/DSP to learn more and schedule your demo today. Jesse, I want to thank you so much for taking time to do this with me today.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
I hope so, because I've been after you for quite a while. I want to brag a little bit about you. When we first met, at least from my side of things, you were coming from what I would deem a lower volume restaurant, and usually an owner I don't feel comfortable working with, because it's a premium coaching program, and to get you the return on your investment is not as easy. Like when you do, you know, million, 2 million plus a year, it's so easy to find a point two and make that investment back. But you had tenacity in saying you want to grow your business, that this was only the first stepping stone. And if I recall, you had to talk me into letting you into the program. Like, no, I don't think it's the right thing. Yes, I'm going to do this. And I got to tell you, the reason why I'm so excited about bringing you on is, as we said before we started talking, at my last seminar, I was bragging about you, because in my program, I talk about everybody needing an implementer, somebody to help them get shit done. And because you were so small, you didn't have that person. And I know for a fact that restaurant owners cannot 99.999% of the time do the work, and that's why we need an implementer. But you broke the mold. I mean, you got shit done, you kicked ass, you changed your business, you changed your life, and we'll talk a little bit about it. But I think it's truly a testament to who you are as a leader and somebody who said, by God, this business is going to grow. Whether I kill you, David, or not, it's going to grow. So I'm really glad you're here with me today. What I'd like you to do is kind of start off with, talk about what life was like for you and your restaurant beforehand. Tell everybody a little bit about your restaurant, what it was like before you met, and maybe some of the challenges you were facing.
Okay. So I own Rose Cafe here in Florida. So I just passed my year anniversary, you know, a few weeks ago with coming onto your program. And I remember it was right around Thanksgiving time, and I don't know. I was like in such a bad place. I had a 6-month-old baby, which I'd just been on maternity leave. I took 6 weeks off, and my manager, the person I had brought on to run my business, which was pretty small, quit during my maternity leave, and also convinced my employees that, you know, I was a terrible person, and, you know, so all of my staff kind of left, and I had to close, and I was just, you know, this was my 5th year of just beating my head against the wall, having this business. And I just kind of told Ben, you know, like your priorities really change when you bring a tiny human into the world. And it's just like, I'm not doing this. You know, we're not making any money. We're spending all my time and just all this negative energy. Like, I mean, I think I have like one good try in me left, or, you know, we are walking away and we'll, you know, do something else. I can go get a job and actually make money, do anything else. And my wonderful husband, he is just the research guru, and he had followed your podcast and heard about you from somewhere else, and he was like, you know, you really like this could be good for us. So he is the one who set up our discovery call, and I'm so glad I did. So yeah, our revenues were tiny. I mean, there still are, you know, we're up 60% from last year, which is good, and it's hard to be patient, but you know, just my life is so different. Like right now I'm taking Tuesdays and Thursdays off, which never would have even happened before this program, and I get to spend time with my little girl. And yeah, I mean, it's just unbelievable what just 1 year difference has made. I mean, it's just, I'm proud to have my business. I love going to work every day. You know, I have my manager meetings because now I do have an implementer, and yes, life is much easier with that person. So I'll agree with you a little bit on that point that maybe I don't think it's a need right off the bat, but it is definitely a luxury. But I tell my managers all the time, like, you know, good or bad, like I love being here. I love coming to work. I love like talking to you guys and, you know, just watching everything just operate so great. And I mean, it's just, it's really crazy to think it's only been a year, but I mean, yeah, so happy to be here.
So talk a little bit about, so you literally, you have the baby, you lose a manager, you lose your team, you close the restaurant, and now you've got an infant and you've got to reopen your business and in a tough time, like a real tough time. We're coming out of COVID. It is not the easiest thing to do. And you already started off with a low volume. Now you started, share with everybody a little bit how you got into becoming a cafe, because you started really with the idea of baking, correct?
Yes, so I just celebrated my 6th anniversary. I had a totally different concept when we opened. I was better at bakery. So such a baby, naive baby back then. I was like, you know, I was doing cakes for my home. I'm gonna make a few cupcakes every week that I can sell at the store, and I'm just gonna do my custom cake thing. And I mean, we got really busy. I mean, I had maybe one employee, and it just got to where I was just severe burnout. I just was working 100 hours a week. I mean, it was just awful and terrible. And it, you know, it's a good thing to be busy, but it's like I had such a specialized thing. I would make these wedding cakes and beautiful birthday cakes, and I'm in a rural area. It's really hard to hire to get help for that position. And then also, I've never been a manager. I've went to culinary school. You know, I didn't know how to manage people. So it's just all these things compounding that I worked all the hours. And, you know, like COVID was just honestly one of the, which sounds terrible saying, but for me, for my business, it was a blessing. Like every event was canceled, which meant no weddings, no birthdays, you know, all that froze. So all of our income was gone, and it was like, all right, like, you know, we got to do something different. Like if we want to, you know, even pay our power bill or rent this month, we got to figure something else out. And, you know, Ben was kind of like, you know, people don't eat cupcakes and cakes every day. But you know, they do eat breakfast and lunch every day. So we started slowly just adding in, you know, a breakfast croissant and like a chicken salad croissant, and slowly people just like really liked those items that they just kept asking for more and more and more. So then January of 2021, you know, it's already burnout from cakes anyways. We decided, you know, let's switch our name. We kind of killed off Batter Up Bakery to kind of sever, you know, which still people call me Batter Up Bakery. It's been over 2 years, but whatever.
As long as they keep
Like
showing up.
change. Yeah, they keep showing up. Yeah, you can call me whatever you want as long as you come eat our food. But yeah, so 2021, we changed to Rosé Cafe. We do breakfast, lunch. We still have our Batter Up Bakery cupcakes that are, extremely famous all over this area. So yeah, and just quit doing anything custom, which really was a great move for me mentally. Like I really struggle with, the people who aren't 100% happy and satisfied and stuff. And I think it is a little different when you're making art and they're like, I hate it. Versus, you make a sandwich. It's like, okay, so sorry, we'll remake you another one. So yeah, like that was, really a great transition for us. And then did that for a while and made some more money. But then, I've just always struggled again. Like I went to culinary school. I've worked in kitchens and you think, you're a good cook. Why can't you open a restaurant?
Let's
But,
explore that kind of
just
for a
didn't.
second. So, would you say one of your biggest challenges was that you were your best technician, you were your best cook, your best cashier, your best manager, your best everything? Were you trying to do everything yourself and overloading things?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I remember in one of our first group coaching calls, you asked us to go through what a typical day looks like for us. And then like that really made me think, okay, I get there at 6:30. I, go through, I do my little opening checklist, and then I'm taking the orders and making the coffees and the sandwiches. And it's like, okay, well, I'm missing all these things on our food order, and I'm not managing these people because I'm getting so frustrated with them that I'm doing everything, but they can't do it to my standards. So I just like a vicious cycle. So yeah, absolutely. And like as soon as you ask that question, it's like, oh my gosh, I'm not an owner. I'm just like created the worst hobby slash job for me ever, with no days off. So I mean, that was like such a turning point for me. It was just that simple little question. People in the class that are like, well, I do this and I do these managerial things, and we have our meetings, and then I go home with my family, and it's like, oh, I was like, I don't belong here. But then I was like, oh no, hell no, like I'm gonna do whatever I need to do to change it. And and so yeah,
Well, and I think
that's
that
what we
is
did.
probably the
Thanks.
biggest thing is if you listen to your journey, you talk about burnout technically twice, burnout from cakes and cupcakes, and COVID kind of was a blessing, but you pivoted, the ugly word we talked about during COVID, pivoted, created a restaurant instead of just cupcakes and custom cakes, and found yourself being your best employee again. Like you traded one job for another and getting burnout and frustrated again. With that said, you also had lower volumes. And that meant that if you paid yourself, it was because you were your manager. Like you were the primary part of your labor. And that's probably the only way you were able to control it. Talk about labor, talk about cost of goods sold. What were those challenges like when you were still operating before you started working in the program?
So I don't know. It's just like so tough because in those times I did not know my numbers at all whatsoever. And I felt like, for a few years, we were like, I never paid myself. I was always there, never paid myself, and I always felt like we're struggling to make our tiny payroll. And like it was terrible and so stressful and just always stressed out about money. And then I hired a manager and I was paying her quite a bit for this area. And that was stressful, but I was like, oh, at least thank God I have the help. And it's just wasn't charging enough for our custom cakes. We're in a rural place, so I like to be like, well, I like that we're kind of in the same price market as a supermarket, but we're nicer. And it's like, don't be so dumb. Like, what is wrong with you? But so I don't know. It was just so stressful all the time. And yeah, I mean, it's just like, I talked about this a few weeks ago, in one of our calls. It's like I had $77 go missing, and I found out the day it happened. And it's like back then, I mean, who knows? Like, probably thousands could have been stolen. I don't know, or just like wasted, or anything. And it's like you like to think no one would do that, but it's which I don't even know if this was a stealing accident or, you know, just an accident, but just like, it's so powerful just to know like exactly what your food cost is and exactly, you know, just to have the numbers is just like, oh, we can't afford this. Like, I don't have to stress about money because I know exactly if, you know, we're over for labor this week or if we're under, or, you know, it's just, I mean, and I'm not a numbers person. I'm artsy,
you are now,
you know,
you are now.
Yeah, absolutely, for sure. Yeah, because it's just like they always stressed me out, but it's like, oh, it's actually a really great tool to have the opposite. Like, you don't have to stress, it just de-stresses, like, to know, to have that knowledge.
And what a difference that makes in home life. I mean, you cannot help but take the stress of not being able to wonder if you're going to make your bills or payroll. That translates to home. There's no way in hell that leaves your head. The stress is unbelievable. So just to be able to come home and not have to worry all the time, it gives you the ability to be present. And as we talk about, is not miss those firsts. Like that the restaurant, while it is for your family, it's not the overarching thing that you're going to miss when your daughter is able to start to t-ball or soccer or, you know, gymnastics or flute or whatever it may be. You're going to be there because you've got a team working in place. Do me a favor. What did you do before we started working together? What did you try or what did you use to try and make change beforehand? Was it books? Was it another, you know, was it a course, a seminar? Had you tried anything?
So I had hired a personal coach that was like a once a week call. Wasn't really like restaurant specific, which helped, I think, kind of get the ball rolling to just even know that there were, you know, things out there to help you. Like, my husband loves to read, so he always be like, read this book. But it's like kind of tough when you're stressed and just overwhelmed. You know, I don't want to come home and read a book on business. And, you know, so my poor husband, like, seriously tried everything. He's like, listen to this podcast, do this. And it's like, I can't. Okay. But I did find this one lady, her name is Ellen, and we talk once a week, and she just gave me like simple, like no brainer stuff that I was just like too bogged down to even think about. And then we kind of went down. My husband loves Tony Robbins, so we did some of like, you know, the mindset-y stuff. You know, just try to think positively. I mean, it truly is a miracle that I'm still married, like going through all this. But I mean, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger, I guess. And then I kind of told Ben, I was thinking about, you know, maybe we should try something. So I found another program that was not restaurant specific, but kind of, you know, I don't know, like a course that helps you like how to manage your time and stuff. And I was like, well, I was thinking about doing this. And he was like, well, actually, you should think about this one because it's like restaurant specific. And I was like, oh, well, that makes sense. Absolutely thankful that, I mean, like Ben, like literally, you know, led me to you, which was the best thing ever.
But you also had to be ready for that message. So the fact that you already worked with a coach and understood that you don't know what you don't know, and it's nice to have somebody to bounce things off that it's not related to you, because sometimes I do it at my house. My daughter used to all the time, from volleyball to now as a tattoo artist with business. Sometimes I need to shut up and listen. She just wants to unload, but I want to fix it. So when your spouse or your significant other, your parent, your whoever friend wants to fix it all the time, sometimes you don't want it fixed. You just want somebody to shut up and listen. So that creates a challenge. Plus, you're never an expert in your own backyard. So, you know, when you're so close, it's often very difficult to see past just relationship things, just little ticks that can set one off versus I'm really trying to help. So beautiful part is you're ready for the message. He is still hanging in there and making sure he can help. What made you decide to, one, set up a call with me, and two, ultimately join?
So I first talked to Ryan, and I mean, so I had this discovery call with the other program, and I was like, you know, I need something, you know, like I need something, you know. I didn't even know that, like, honestly, I kind of disagree with you about the volumes thing. Like, I feel like your course needs to be a prerequisite for anyone who is dumb enough to think, oh, I'm going to open a restaurant. Like, I really think there needs to be some sort of course that you go through, because it's like, how else? I mean, even if you managed, you know, a restaurant, I don't even think you would be prepared to run one. Like, there's just so many things. So I had my discovery call with Ryan, and I was like, oh my God, this is perfect. And then, like, I told him my volumes, and he's like, well, I don't think you're, like, right for this program. And I was just like, no, I don't think so. Like, no, I am right for this program. Like, he was like, you know, it is a big financial commitment. And I'm like, it doesn't matter. Like, this is my life. Like, I had spent 5 years, you know, like, that's not nothing, you know, like, most of my 20s. Just, and it's like, just to have someone be like, well, I'm sorry, like, I wish we could help you, but we can't. I was like, nope, absolutely not. Like, nope, give me. He's like, okay, like, I'll talk to David, see if he'll talk to you. And I was like, just get me on that call. And he's like, probably like, who is this crazy lady? But yeah, so as soon as I talked to you, you're like, oh, I don't know. And I was like, nope, nope, absolutely not. Like, I will not disappoint you. You're like, you better not. And I was like, I will do the work. I will do whatever it takes. You know, I mean, for me, like, the biggest thing was I didn't want to close because, you know, pride is a lot of it. And it's like, yeah. I live in a small town. I grew up here, and it's like, I didn't want to close. Like, if there's something we could do, anything we could do, you know, I wanted to do it. So, that was kind of,
well, that goes hand in hand with your growth mindset. We're, as entrepreneurs, we're sometimes eternal optimists. And we think next month, it's the next thing. It's the, I'm just right around, just if I could turn the corner, this is going to change. But sometimes we don't make the change. We don't do. And that was in our discovery call. Like, people don't believe me when I'm on calls that I go, I don't let everybody into the program. Sometimes it's mindset. Sometimes it is, again, lower volume. And it's like, I don't feel good. My core values don't say I can get you return on that investment. But as our call went on, we kind of had an agreement, and that was, I was only letting you in if you were going to either expand your current location or move. And you said, by God, that's what I'm gonna do, because that now becomes an investment in your future, because it's very difficult, you know, to make a change that's gonna have a dramatic impact when we don't have the sales to begin with. But if you have sales, it can cure a lot of ills, but more importantly, when you run efficiently, it can make a huge, a dramatic difference to your bottom line. And just so people know, as Jesse's smiling and saying, you know, no, I'm going to do this, she really did. Like, I was not allowed not to allow her in the program. And that alone, that tenacity was why I let you in. But more importantly, it was so impressive to watch you, because again, you didn't have an implementer. How many employees did you have? You had 2 or 3 employees. That's all you had when you started, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's small. And so you didn't have a lot of people to delegate. You had to learn, you had to do. And so all of a sudden you join the program and you start with getting the work done, but you still have a slower progress in the beginning because you didn't have the help. So do me a favor, talk a little bit about, as you started implementing the systems and going through the program, what were some of the first changes you made, and what did that do for you?
So first changes, like, I think it's week 4 is when, you know, we bring on Jolt. And that was the biggest thing. Like I've kind of said before, I had no management experience. And it was just this vicious cycle of me so frustrated with my employees because, you know, I made these checklists for them, but then, you know, they just get the little Sharpie or, dry erase marker and, you know, write it all down. Oh yeah, I did it. And it's like, well, someone didn't. Well, I don't know who it was. And it was just, I get so frustrated because, you know, that's not how I operate in my life. Like I try to do everything the best I can. And I just really didn't understand why everyone else wasn't this way. But you know, that's why, I don't know. So anyways, Jolt was one of the first things that I did. Which was huge because it created accountability. It made sure things were getting done, and just like the mental offload that was to just be like, oh, did the open sign like so many days I'd come to work like after an hour after it was open and the open sign isn't on. It's like, how do we make money if we don't look open? It's like, you know, my employees are just sitting there, and it just, you know, I just always had employee problems. And I think that was because I didn't know how to manage them, you know, which if you're the owner, you have a terrible manager or terrible employees, like that's your fault. You picked them, you trained them, like, you know, like that is 100% on you. And, you know, just this whole past year with my manager leaving me and taking all my employees, like that has been like the biggest lesson for me. Like that is 100% on me, like, and such a learning experience for me. And, you know, they always, like Avery always says this, that Jolt is just this living, breathing thing that just is constantly changing. And it's like so true. It's, you know, every week I'm adding or changing or taking away something that can be different. And, you know, it's not that your employees don't try. It's just like they don't know. And if they don't know, how are they supposed to know? And you can tell them once, but then, like, do you remember everything that you were only told once? Like, no, I forget probably, like, I'm expecting again. So I probably right now only retain like 4% of anything that is said to me.
Yeah.
So, like, I think Jolt, I mean, just the accountability of Jolt was huge. And I don't even know, like, I was talking to Ben earlier, like, what was, like, I've been trying to reflect on what has been my biggest change in how I manage. And it's like, I don't know if Jolt's kind of just done the work for me, because I still feel like I hate confrontation and, you know, all these things. And I don't really feel like I've grown too much as a manager, but it, so maybe it's just done most of the work for me, or just all these subtle changes over the year that I haven't really noticed. But that, which I'm sure most of your clients say, like, that has been a huge thing for me. And I mean, just freeing up all that time so I could actually, you know, start looking into our food costs and stuff like that.
And I think that's really the thing, is you've learned to impose your will without being there. That checklist, that closed to open mentality. But you kind of glanced over it a little bit. You talked about Avery Ward, who is a member mentor. You talked about Ryan James, who set you up with the discovery call, but also a member mentor, you know, and there's the group coaching calls, which you talked about too. Talk a little bit about having a member mentor, Avery, on a weekly basis to be able to talk to, and then what it's like on a weekly basis for the group coaching call. How did that support you? Because you did zero support. Again, you had 2-3 employees at one point in time. You did not have this huge staff that most restaurants are used to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, I am an introvert. So at first, like, the weekly coaching calls just terrified me to death. But then after a couple weeks, you're like, oh my gosh, these people are like, they're just like me, but, you know, they have more restaurants volume all over, you know, the world, and they have the exact same problems that I have. And a lot of them are just so simple, but just like talking about them. And then all these other people will, well, this is what we did and it worked great. This is what you should try. And it's like, oh my gosh, it's like magic, but it's not. It's just, you know, sometimes when you're so down in the details, it's hard to think, you know, big. And, you know, I really looked forward to the weekly calls. I mean, it was a huge commitment. We kind of, my husband and I sat down and we're like, all right, we got 6 months. We're not doing anything. Like, this is what we're doing. Like, someone wants to go to dinner, sorry, nope, can't do it, we gotta do homework. But I mean, so happy we did. And Ryan was actually my member mentor, and I mean, there were so many things I just like texted him, like, hey, what do I do? And he's like, oh, easy, just do this. And it's like, you know, this is, it's like really magic. I mean, just to have that group of people. And I really didn't expect, which I know probably everyone says that, for that to be your favorite thing about the program. But I mean, it really was. Like, and I try to make it to the monthly calls now, and I still get so much out of it. You know, because the bar never stops moving. You just got to keep on getting better. And, you know, all these people are kind of doing exactly what you're doing. So that's great.
It is amazing how when people, we, lack of a better term, we say graduate. It's really, you don't graduate. You just keep going. But graduate from the RTI program, that to a person is like, can I keep coming on the calls weekly? No, No, you can come monthly now. You go. It's like, but I like, you know, you get used to that camaraderie. You know, I don't, I don't, it's hard to describe to people that it's not just, hey, you may come to a call and not have a question, but you've learned from five other people and their questions and their advice. You get re-energized to understand that you're not the only one with those problems and somebody else has a fix that makes more sense than even sometimes that I come up with, because I'm not the expert on everything. I don't know pieces of equipment or different pieces of software or how to handle certain things. And you've got this group that all they care about is helping each other. It is amazing because, again, we're used to being alone. And for you, alone was damn near, you know, fully there because, again, of where your size was. What was it when you started seeing results? What happened? What was going on that, whether it was financial or time or whatever, after the checklist part, when did you start to see results?
So almost immediately, like my biggest thing right off the bat was employees. I hired a group of employees, most of them are still with me today. So, I mean, that just goes to even say, like, you know, before I was retaining employees, maybe 6 months. But now, you know, it's been over a year. The first girl I hired, she's now my kitchen manager. You know, like, and it's just like such a good feeling. I just had my Christmas party. You know, I went from year zero, now I have 10 employees. I mean, that's quite a big jump. And like, we have our weekly meetings and, you know, everyone just seems so happy to be there. So like I had a call with my bookkeeper last week and she said she went to some conference and there was a bunch of keynote speakers and restaurateurs, like big chains and stuff. And their biggest pain point is employees. Like they cannot retain employees. And it's like, you know, in one of our calls, I think it was a few months ago, the monthly call was like, there's not a labor problem, there's a culture problem. And I really do think like, that is so true. Like, all my employees are happy to be there, or at least they're really good at pretending, but they keep showing up and doing a really great job. And I mean, even just like in our reviews that we get, like we get multiple reviews every week and they all say great food, excellent service.
That's great.
All the employees are so nice and so friendly. And it's like, that's huge right now. Like last week, my husband and I went to Panera, and then a couple weeks before we went to Chipotle. Like, I love those places. In both places, like, the employees were just grumpy and, like, the place was a mess. And it was just like, you know, it is a problem at most places. But, like, I'm so happy that it's not, you know, at my place. And I'm, you know, just really want to – I'm actually having an employee meeting today at 3:30. It's like I just really want to keep raising the bar and, you know, encouraging them to – you know, be the best they can be. And like, I'm just so happy to have them there. So that was right off the bat, I mean, just really a culture change, which I know had to do a lot with my attitude. Like if I'm stressed out and miserable, like I'm probably not the nicest person. And like I said, like I love going to work now. I love all of my employees and, you know, that makes for a nicer person. So employees was definitely the first thing that changed for me.
And so as that happened, as your employees stayed with you, as your service levels went up, your cleanliness levels went up, and you shared your sales are up now, you expanded next door, so people understand you added more seats, but you're up 60% in sales. What about your food, labor costs, or bottom line? Have those improved to a point where you're pleased with what's going on as you still build?
Yes. So I just finished my mission. We just got reopened the second week of October. So we're December now. So our revenues are going up. Sometimes I can be a little impatient. We're not exactly where, you know, I'm still too low to be your client, but we are definitely trending. Like next year, we are all set up that hopefully we're going to hit that mark. It is really hard to be patient because, I mean, we're up 60% from last year, but But we were also closed for a month while renovating. So, I mean, even that is huge in the first part of the year. I mean, we were still operating in our tiny location. But I mean, the way we've been operating last month and this month, like we'll easily hit those goals, which is very exciting because, you know, I want to continue to build up my team and, you know, elevate them and pay them more and, you know, really, really want to be that, continue to be that employer of choice. And that's really important to me. So yeah, things are getting easier financially. We're not quite there yet. We still gotta finish paying for a remodel, and we added, doubled our square footage, which is awesome because we were operating in, you know, under 1400 square feet, and we were kind of like maxed out. Like I didn't even have a walk-in cooler. We just had multiple like three-door coolers and one oven, one tiny Turbo Chef, like no real kitchen, you know, so we couldn't really take on catering or anything because we had nowhere to put the food once it was made to keep it cold while the customer, you know, came to pick it up. So, I mean, we just have so much more room for growth, which is huge. Like, if you're tapped out, you can't make any more money. You can only fit so many employees in a tiny space. So, yeah, I'm really excited for this next year to
And
come so we
you
can.
got there because I think the side effect of you having time from the beginning with the checklist and then having employees and that they're staying and they're doing is you're leading your company. You're working strategically. You had the time to think about, do I find another location? Do we expand next door? And you know, I saw, and what people don't know is you did the damn renovations yourself. You did the design yourself. You did 90% of everything yourself, which on top of that, by still running the business, still, you know, growing your family, you know, being home at least 2 days a week and so on, it's really impressive. And what I'm most excited about is as you hit those revenue goals, is that this becomes not just something that pays you, but actually makes you money.
Yeah.
And that's exciting for me to see because of where you started. What were some of the unexpected changes you got from the program?
I don't know. I think probably the biggest one is moving from being a technician to being an owner. And honestly, it's been kind of tough, like making that transition mentally. And I kind of had to take a step back and, you know, what do I do now? You know, like I'm not needed there all the time. And it's like, it was like kind of hard. It's like I'm home, but kind of want to be at work, and then I'm at work and I kind of want to be at home. So I've really had to take a step back, and I'm starting to look into some marketing stuff. And
Great.
I don't know, like, and it sounds so silly to say because, you know, last year I was miserable. I just didn't want to be at work. And now it's like, you know, I went through this phase where I'm like, well, don't they notice I'm not there? Like, I don't know. Like, it's, but that was kind of like a really unexpected thing for me. Also, I will say, you know, since doing the group coaching calls every week, I've tried to like encourage and reach out to some local restaurant owners and befriend them and just like let them know, like, whatever you need, like, I'm here. Like, we're not competition. We're all doing our own separate things. So I think like that support is very important. So not that, you know, I know everything by any means. Like, there's just most days I'm like, who let me open this business? But
You know more than most now. Like, you know, you truly look at, and it's not just knowing, you've done it. You have personally implemented the change. You like, again, you talk to any of the neighboring restaurants, they're probably still bitching about employees and you're keeping employees. You know, they're probably bitching about quality. You've got the systems in place to make sure you've got quality. Probably bitching about labor costs and food costs. You've got those things in line. What you're working now on is revenue. And so, you know, you are a good operator, but more importantly, you've become the leader your restaurant needs. You've created an environment, a positive work culture where you become an employer of choice. Like it is amazing to watch again from the beginning when, you know, you lost all the employees to that they're all staying with you. There are plenty of restaurant jobs out there. There's plenty of jobs out there. but they're staying. And that's a testament to you as a leader. And I think you've got to give yourself a lot more credit for that. So someday I'll keep pumping you and you'll believe it.
I was sitting in the office one day, it was like 2 weeks ago, and oh my gosh, I had this employee who, she was talking to the other girls and she's like, I've got a girlfriend who works at this place in Babcock Ranch. And she just tells me every day she goes to work and she's so upset and she cries. And the manager tells her, if she messes up one more time, I'm going to fire you. And she's like, I'm sorry, girl. I can't relate. I just love my job and I love coming to work. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like, that's just insane. Like, it just made me so happy. And like, amazing. So
that is the best. Yeah. That is literally, and that's why they care about everything they do. They care about the customers, care about you. It's theirs. You've created a community. And I think that's amazing. And that's the hardest part to do in the restaurant business. You know, slinging food and doing checklists or counting stuff, that's easy. That's the company culture that matters. Mm-hmm. What does life look like for you today?
I don't work very much. I work 9 to 3, 4 days a week, which is nice. Kind of dream schedule, which is awesome. I've got 2 days off, 3 days, including Sunday. We're closed on Sunday. So take Tuesday, Thursday, Sunday off, which is really nice. We are expecting another baby in February, which, normally we, you know, we're in Florida, so we get all the snowbirds. This is our busy season from January to a little bit after Easter. So, you know, a few years ago, I would have, I had Ellie in June, which is off season, and shit hit the fan. It was awful and had to close. But I'm so confident, you know, I'm having a baby in the busiest time of year. And it's like, I'm not even worried because I know my team has got this. And that's huge. And Ben and I are at a point where, you know, we want to have a great year next year. And then hopefully the year after that, we'd love to explore doing this again. Like, let's have Rosé Cafe 2.0. Which is awesome to even think. Like, the ultimate dream is to one day to have it to where this venture can support both of us. And Ben can, you know, he's a farmer by trade, but even if that's him commercially growing all our food, or, you know, I worry about him managing my sweet employees, but I don't know. We can find something for him to do.
There's plenty to do.
Yeah.
Well, but that's fantastic.
Yeah. So life is good. I'm really excited for next year to continue to get our revenues up and, work on getting, I don't know, there's always something to do. Like, where our food costs can be a little better. We're at like a 30% right now. You know, obviously want to be more towards like 25%, but I mean, there's time for all of that. I mean, we just went through a remodel. I'm a very let's do it all now kind of person. So this has been such a year for transitions and patience for me, which has been a challenge, but I don't know. It doesn't all happen overnight. So, just trying to stay patient
Well, it's the one small change that you do over and over and over again, you know, changes your trajectory for the positive. And you are a great example of that. I've got a couple more questions for you and I'll let you go. But the first one is, what would you tell somebody who's thinking about looking at our program, possibly joining? Do you have any advice for them?
David will let you in, then go for it. we would not be open without your program 100%. Like, it just, we would have closed, which I don't know. There's just so many things you could think, what if, you know, what would be different? It's like, a lot of it probably wouldn't be good. And I know for a fact that we would not have a business. And I'm like, it brings me so much joy now that I'm so thankful that we did it. And 100%, if you have the opportunity to do it, like, you should absolutely do it.
Well, I'm thankful you forced me to bring you on. More than anybody, because I get to brag about you. Like I said, I was bragging about you at the seminar. You are going to be in my speeches from here to forever as the one person that said, I am coming in, I've got low volumes, but I'm going to kick ass and I've got no implementer. With that said, I really appreciate you doing this with me today. And I don't just blow smoke up your rear end. You know that I've been after you to do this because I've been so impressed with you. If there was one last thing you wanted to share with anybody, a quote, a book, a something, anything we didn't talk about, what would that be?
I would just say, just do the freaking work. I mean, you know, like 6 months is a long time, but it's really not. I mean, that has been one of the, you know, all these old people say, oh, your kids grow up so fast. And it's like, once you have a kid and you have them growing up so fast, it's like, oh my gosh, 6 months is nothing. And it's here today and it's gone tomorrow. It's like, just do the work. I mean, in anything, like in business and fitness and your marriage, you know, if you just like, you know, take the time to do the work, you know, if I wouldn't have done the work 6 months ago, you know, I'd either have a ton of time because I didn't have a business, or I'd have no time because I was still going through it and I don't get to spend any time with my kid. So it's like, I don't know, do it now so it's easier later. I love that. I've seen online it bouncing around, you know, choose your hard. You know, you make time for fitness now or you're making time for sickness later. You know, it's the same in everything. So, I mean, that has been the biggest thing. Like, I remember just being down in it and getting stressed out about our weekly homework and everything. And, you know, on our weekly calls, be like, well, calm down, you'll catch up, it's fine. But it's like, you know, that was a year ago already. Like, how did that time go by? So it's like, I'm so glad we did it. And yeah.
Awesome. I appreciate you very, very much. And we might have to do a follow-up sometime soon.
Yeah. Well, hopefully we can do it a year from now and we're just wildly successful.
I look forward to it. Thanks, Jesse.
All right. Thank you.
Hey, that was an awesome episode. I want to thank you for taking the time to take action on building a better, more prosperous restaurant. Before you go, I want to give you these three thoughts. One, by combining leadership and taking action with systems and training being checked by accountability, you are on your way to creating prosperity for you and your restaurant. Two, I have something I need from you. Please leave a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you happen to listen to podcasts. By leaving us a review, other restaurant pros seeking out this information are able to find it. I read the reviews, and hearing how this information has benefited you does wonders for me. And three, if you find any of the discussions helpful, share them. The more restaurant pros who have access to them, the better we become as an industry. For more restaurant resources or to get in contact with me, connect with me at davidscottpeters.com. Be passionate about what you're doing. Be persistent, but more importantly, become better and help everyone around you become better. And your restaurant is going to kick some ass.